It is obvious for any Orthodox Christian with some awareness of what orthodoxy is, some awareness of what the world looks like today, who looks at the world from the point of view of orthodoxy, the Orthodox worldview, it's obvious that our world is coming to its end. The signs of the times are so obvious that one might say that the world is coming crashing to its end. What are some of these signs? First of all, the abnormality of the world. Never have such weird and unnatural manifestations and behavior been accepted as a matter of course as in our days. Just look at the world around you, what's in the newspapers, what kind of movies are being shown, what's on the television, what it is that people think interesting and amusing, that they laugh at. It's absolutely weird. And there are people who deliberately promote this, of course, for their own benefit, for their own money, and also because that's the fashion, because there's a kind of perverse craving for this kind of thing. Another thing, the wars, rumors of wars, each more cold and merciless than the one preceding it, and all overshadowed by the threat of the unthinkable universal nuclear war, which could be set off with a touch of a button, which has become very much in the news, in the air, in the last year or two. People have become aware that indeed this is a very real possibility. Again, the widespread natural disasters, earthquakes, and now volcanoes, the newest one forming not far from here, near Yosemite Park in Central California, which are already changing the world's weather patterns. Again, the increasing centralization of information on and power over the individual, represented in particular by the enormous new computer in Luxembourg, which has the capacity to keep a file of information on every man living. Another point, the multiplication of false Christs and false antichrists. The latest candidate, just this summer, spent probably millions of dollars advertising his impending appearance on world television, promising to give, at that time, a telepathic message to all the world's inhabitants. Quite apart from any occult powers which might be involved in such events, we already know well enough the opportunities for presenting subliminal messages by radio and especially by television, as well as the fact that this can be done by anyone with the technology for breaking into to normal radio and television signals, no matter how many laws there might be against it. Another point, the truly weird response to the new movie everyone in America is talking about and seeing, E.T., the extraterrestrial, which has caused literally millions of seemingly normal people to express their affection and love for the hero, who was a savior from outer space, was quite obviously a demon. And all this is an obvious preparation for the worship of the coming Antichrist. Incidentally, the movie editor, there's a review in the New Orthodox America of this film, which I think you should all read. There was also a review of this film in the recent newspaper, the Greek Archdiocese. And a priest who reviewed it said, it's a wonderful movie, it can teach us about love, and everyone should see it. It means that there's quite a contrast between people who are trying to be aware of what's going on, and those who are simply led into the mood of the times. I could go on with details like this, but my purpose is not to frighten you, but to make you aware of what is happening around us. It is truly later than we think. The apocalypse is now. And how tragic it is to see Christians, and above all, Orthodox young people, with this incalculable tragedy hanging over their heads, who think they can continue what is called a normal life in these terrible times, participating fully in the whims of this silly, self-worshipping generation, totally unaware that the fool's paradise we are living in is about to crash and completely unprepared for the desperate times that lie just ahead of us. There is no longer even a question of being a good or a poor Orthodox Christian. The question now is, will our faith survive at all? With many, it will not survive. The coming Antichrist will be too attractive, too much in the spirit of the worldly things we now crave, for most men even to know that they have lost their Christianity by bowing down to him. Still, the call of Christ comes to us. Let us, after becoming aware of some of these things, begin at last to pay attention to it. The clearest expression of this call today is coming from the enslaved atheist world, where there is real suffering for Christ and the seriousness of life which we are rapidly losing or have already lost. One Orthodox priest in Romania, Father George Calciu, who is now near death in a communist prison, for daring to challenge young seminarians and students to put off their blind allegiance to the spirit of the times and come forward to labor for Christ. He gave a series of talks in 1978, for which he received a sentence of 10 years in the concentration camp, and after which he was subjected to beatings.
And we are publishing.
We are publishing. The Last Issue of Orthodox Word contained the first installment in two parts. There's seven talks addressed to young people. Of course, he speaks to people who have been raised as atheists, so the situation is a little more drastic than what we have here. But the basic battle is the same. After speaking of the emptiness of atheism, he tells today's young people, quote, "I call you to a much higher flight, to total abandonment, to an act of courage which defies reason. I call you to God, to the one that transcends the world, so that you might know an infinite heaven of spiritual joy, the heaven which you presently grope for in your personal hell, and which you seek even while in a state of non-deliberate revolt. Jesus has always loved you, but now you have the choice to respond to his invitation. In responding, you are ordained to go and bear fruit that will remain, to be a prophet of Christ in the world in which you live, to love your neighbor as yourself, and to make all men your friends, to proclaim by every action this unique and limitless love which has raised man from the level of a slave to that of a friend of God, to be the prophet of this liberating love which delivers you from all constraint, returning to you your integrity as you offer yourself to God." End of quote. Father George, speaking to young people who had little inspiration to serve Christ's church because they had accepted the worldly opinion, which is common also in the free world, that the church is only a set of buildings or a worldly organization, the fact that the priestly calling is simply another job, which is paid for by the government, calls them and us to a deeper awareness of Christ's church and of how our formal membership in it is not enough to save us. He says, quote, "The church of Christ is alive and free. In her we move and have our being, through Christ who is her head. In him we have full freedom. In the church we learn of truth, and the truth will set us free. You are in Christ's church whenever you uplift someone bent down in sorrow, or when you give alms to the poor and visit the sick. You are in Christ's church when you cry out, 'Lord, help me.' You are in Christ's church when you are good and patient, when you refuse to get angry at your brother, even if he has wounded your feelings. You are in Christ's church when you pray, 'Lord, forgive him.' When you work honestly at your job, returning home weary in the evenings, but with a smile upon your lips. When you repay evil with love, you are in Christ's church. Do you not see, therefore, young friend, how close the church of Christ is? You are Peter, and God is building his church upon you. You are the rock of his church, against which nothing can prevail. Let us build churches with our faith, churches which no human power can pull down, a church whose foundation is Christ. Feel for your brother alongside you. Never ask, 'Who is he?' Rather say, 'He is no stranger. He is my brother. He is the church of Christ, just as I am.'" End of quote. With such a call in our hearts, let us begin really to belong to the church of Christ, the Orthodox Church. Outward membership is not enough. Something must move within us that makes us different from the world around us, even if that world calls itself Christian and even Orthodox. Let us keep and nourish those qualities of the true Orthodox worldview which I mentioned earlier. A living, normal attitude, loving and forgiving, not self-centered, preserving our innocence and unworldliness, even with a full and humble awareness of our own sinfulness and the power of the worldly temptations which surround us. If we truly live this Orthodox worldview, our faith will survive the shocks ahead of us and be a source of inspiration and salvation for those who will still be seeking Christ, even amidst the shipwreck of humanity which has already begun today.